This is going to be lesson number 11, God's great universe. We've talked about God's creation, and now we're going to look at His creation a little bit closer. We're going to begin by looking at things in space. Now, some of you may remember this. I gave this lesson in 2012. I've redone it some. It's longer than it was the first time. But some of the information you're going to recognize if you were here in 2012. I think it was February through April or something like that of 2012 when I did this. But everywhere we look, there is design. And so the title of this lesson is Design Speaks, God's Great Universe. This also brings me to the point that David and I talked about today. He asked me, he says, how much longer have you got? I think he's anxious to teach the class after this. I think that's what it is. No, he was wanting to know so that those of you that want to teach class when I'm done, I say I probably get done sometime in October. So if you've got class that you want to teach after this, keep working on it and get it ready by October. But everywhere we look, there is design. We design cars, we design houses, we design clothes, we design airplanes, skyscrapers, satellites, rockets, computers, cell phones, and the list goes on and on. All of these things do not happen by themselves. This cell phone did not happen by itself. Somebody designed it, somebody planned it, and it took a lot to put this together to make it work. Everything has a design. But what can we learn from those designs? Well, we can learn where there is design, there is a designer. There is someone behind it. And this world in which we live is no different. It's designed, which means there is a designer. It did not happen by accident. So design speaks to us. The question is, are we listening? Neptune has 14. Saturn, on the other hand, has 62. Jupiter has 49. Mars has only 2. Uranus has 27. Earth has 1. What are we talking about? Moons. So some of these planets have a lot of moons. And these are only the ones that they've officially named. Some of them have even more that are orbiting around. They haven't quite decided to call them a moon or what to call them. But they're out there. Well, let's notice some interesting facts about our moon. Gravity is about 1/6 of the gravity that we have here on Earth. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means if you weigh 180 pounds here on Earth, you'd weigh 30 pounds on the moon. Want to go on a diet? Go to the moon. Take your scale up there and you'll feel good about yourself. The diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles. About the distance from Los Angeles to Chicago. The diameter of Earth is approximately 8,000 miles. Kind of give you a comparison there. 2,000 to 8,000. Compared to other moons in our solar system, ours is the largest in comparison to its host planet. Most of the planets have little bitty moons. That's one of the reasons they have so many of them. We only have one, but it's big, at least compared to the other moons of other planets. It's about 1/4 the size of Earth. The distance between the Earth and the moon averages about 240,000 miles, because it does fluctuate. Its orbit's a little elliptical. Sometimes it's closer to Earth, sometimes it's further away. But average, about 240,000 miles. The moon orbits the Earth at an average speed of 2,300 miles an hour. Moving along pretty good. But since there's no atmosphere on the moon, the temperature ranges from 243 degrees Fahrenheit in the sunny part of the moon to a negative 272 degrees on the dark side of the moon. So one side you're getting baked and the other side you're freezing to death. But there's no atmosphere there to kind of keep things even. Did you know that the rotation of the moon on its axis takes the same amount of time as it takes the moon to complete one orbit of the Earth, which is about 27.3 days. What does that mean? Well, it means that the moon is going around the Earth. It takes about 27.3 days to do that. At the same time, it's rotating on its axis. But it's rotating such a way that it's, as the Earth's rotating, we're seeing the same side of the moon all the time. So we see the same side all the time. That is why we see the moon or the same side of the moon at all times. We don't see the back side of the moon. Because we see the same side of the moon, no one had ever seen the back side until the Soviets sent up a probe called Luna 3 back in 1959, which took photographs of the back side of the moon. Up until then, nobody had seen it. But the first humans to actually see the backside of the moon were on the Apollo 8 mission in 1968. The astronauts aboard that mission were Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders. How many remember this event? Few of you. Okay, let me ask this question. How many were live during this event? Okay, all right, that's a few more. Okay, there were not only the first humans to see the backside of the moon, but they were also the first humans to leave the gravitational pull of the Earth. No other men had gone into space, but they'd stayed within the gravitational pull of the Earth. These three men were the first to leave the gravitational pull of the Earth. They were truly out in space. And they were first to be captured by the gravitational pull of another celestial body, which was the moon. The moon was pulling them in. But more importantly, they were the first to escape and be able to come back. So it was a successful mission. Apollo 8 was launched on December 21st, 1968. It arrived at the moon 3 days later on December 24th, Christmas Eve. The crew made a television broadcast back to Earth as they circled the moon. Up to that time, it was the most watched TV program ever. Everybody was glued to the TV sets. These are the first men to actually get to the moon. They didn't step on the moon, but the first one to get to the moon. And they were broadcasting pictures back, even though they were pretty grainy and choppy and all that. The astronauts, probably being impressed with their view of looking back toward our beautiful Earth, sitting out in space and seeing the moon up close, began to read the first 10 verses of the book of Genesis. And it was quite emotional for most people. That wouldn't be PC today. politically correct, but I really don't think these men were concerned about being politically correct. They were moved. The first people to see the earth hanging out in space with the moon right in front of them. What a sight. What an emotional trip for them. We'll leave it there. But the moon is important to us. We're going to see why. But it's one of those things that was created by God in this great universe in which we live. So we'll look more about the moon and the other objects in our sky. Before we go, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for this great universe. We thank you for this life that you've given us, the world in which we live. We know that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and that you have made things that we just stand in awe of. We pray that as we look upon these things, that we'll realize that you've made these things for us so that we can enjoy life here on this earth, but more importantly, that we can live in accordance with your will. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending your Son to this earth to die so that we can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. Heaven is a place that we think of, we dream about, but really have no concept of what it is. But we know it's going to be beautiful and wonderful. And we pray that we'll get there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.